Please go ahead and open your Bibles to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, please, for the text of our lesson this morning. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8 will be the text of our lesson. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. A number of years ago, when I was young, I had an uncle, Uncle Lucas, who was a medical doctor. And I don't even remember the background to this, but he was giving me some advice over how I should have a program of diet and exercise for my health. And the advice he gave me was to center on the heart. Do what is good for your heart, and that will be good for the rest of the body. And I think that's probably still the advice that medical doctors would give, because, of course, the heart is that physical organ from which all the health of the body springs. And so if we're going to take care of our bodies and have good health and a long life, then we want to take care of our heart. Well, that's true in the spiritual realm as well. To live spiritually, we must concentrate on the heart. Now, I'm not talking about now the heart that's the blood pump down here in our chest. I'm talking about the heart that's up here, the mind of man. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the proverb is Solomon said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Generally speaking, of course there are exceptions, but generally speaking, from the physical standpoint, if we take care of this blood pump, then the health of the rest of the body will follow as the result. But it's definitely true, it's not just generally true, it's definitely true from a spiritual standpoint. If I take care of my thinking, if I take care of my heart, if I make sure that my thinking is correct, if my thinking is spiritual, then spiritual life will be the result. Otherwise, I will die spiritually. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in our text, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. And this is what we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about this morning, is how to develop this spiritual mind that he talks about in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. He says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." If we think about things that are material, if that's what is the center of our life, that's what is means the most to us, then that's the way we're going to live. We're going to live for fleshly things, for things here and now, rather than the things of the Spirit. But those live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If our lives are dedicated to living for spiritual things and for the following of the Spirit of God as revealed through His Word, then that's the way we will think. And so how we think will determine the way that we live, and the way we live will determine whether we live spiritually or die spiritually. And then he shows the key in verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." If I set my mind on things here and now, material things, things that have to do with this life, if that's what means the most to me, and my desire and my goal and my thoughts are set on those things, then I'm going to die spiritually. I'm doing what is terrible for my spiritual life. But if I will set my mind, my goal, my love, my desire on spiritual things and the things that have to do with the Spirit and following the Spirit of God as revealed in the Word, then I'm going to live spiritually. He shows us the reason. He says in verse 7, "Because the carnal mind," that is, the word carnal means fleshly, the mind that's set on fleshly things, "because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." God does not make His appeal to fleshly things. He makes His appeal to spiritual things. He makes His appeal to our love. He makes His appeal to our desire for eternal life. He makes His appeal to spiritual things. And if all we're thinking about is fun, food, frolic, something in this life, making more money, having a big house, having a job that's high paying, if that's all we're concerned with, and see, those are things that are not necessarily sinful in and of themselves, but if that's what our lives are all about, God doesn't appeal to those things. And so there's no appeal from God to us, and so we're going to die spiritually. We're enmity against God. God doesn't make his appeal to that, and we're enemies against God. For that mind is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. God doesn't make his appeal to those things. So then, those who are in the flesh, that is those who are fleshly minded, and those who live lives for carnal things, cannot please God. So it must be our goal, above all things else, to have a spiritual mind, to set our minds on things above. So we want to pose the question, answer the remainder of the time that we have this morning, how can we become spiritually minded? Well, I'm going to make the comparison as we go through the lesson to our physical health and our spiritual health. Now, in our physical health, there's some things that we need to do in order to have physical health. And there's things that we need to do in order to have spiritual health, to be spiritually minded. Now, the first thing, if I'm going to be physically healthy, I'm going to have to make up my mind that that's a goal that's worthwhile. That that's a goal that I want to achieve, that I want to, instead of just enjoying whatever I want to eat, instead of just having no exercise whatsoever, instead of doing everything that's just in order to satisfy my craving for that minute, that I've got to exercise some self-control. And I've got to set some goals towards having physical health that I will achieve. And it might be I'm going to lose so much weight, or it might be that I'm going to have the kind of diet that will be heart healthy and that will be healthy in other ways. But I've got to set some goals and say, all right, I'm going to achieve those goals. This is my goal. This is what I want to accomplish. Well, the same thing is true of us from a spiritual standpoint. If we're going to live spiritually by being spiritually minded, then we've got to set our goal in the proper place. Now, here's the question that it boils down to. What is your number one goal in life? What are you trying to achieve above everything else? Is it that you want to be rich? Or is it that you want to have all the fun that you can have while you're going through this life? As you know, the old beer commercial, grab all the gusto you can. You only go around once. Is that your goal? Or is your goal to have eternal life with God in heaven and after a while? If that's your number one goal, then keep that in your mind. Put that in your mind ahead of everything else. And make that what you're seeking to achieve. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us to do. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of. Don't always be thinking about having more fun, making more money, doing things for here and now. Set your goal on spiritual, eternal things, on things above. Seek above all things else that I want to go to heaven. That's my number one goal in life. Set your mind on things above, not on things. For you died to the things that are physical and carnal here when you became a Christian. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Eternal life is with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, he's the basis of our life. He's the giver of our spiritual life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. So the number one thing, the first thing that we need to do if we are to become spiritually minded is to decide the number one thing that I want to achieve above all things else is to go to heaven. That is the number one priority in my life. I want to spend eternal life with God in heaven in the after a while. Then everything else will fall into place if we make that our number one priority. Now, the second thing we need to do is have a proper diet. Many of you in this audience know that last year I was diagnosed with cancer and got the word last week that I'm now cancer-free, for which I'm happy. So I went to Heather, who is a medical doctor, and I said, I'm going to do whatever the doctor tells me to do, but I would like to also have a diet that is conducive to fighting cancer. So she gave me a book. I don't like that book a bit. But no, and it's a good book. She gave me a book, and it tells the kind of diet that you can eat in order to have be cancer-free. And also, by the way, it's a heart-healthy diet. And I will tell you something right now. It is not Southern cooking. It doesn't even come close to being southern cooking, which I've eaten my whole life. So it's not the kind of food that I particularly enjoy. But, you know, if you want to have good health, live a long life, be active, then you make some sacrifices, don't you? And one of those things you make sacrifices on is what you eat. And so the same thing is true from a spiritual standpoint. There's things, now we're talking about our minds now. There's things that we take into our mind, the proper diet for the mind. And if we're going to live spiritually, if we're going to be spiritually minded, we have to have the proper diet for the mind. One thing I've learned that I shouldn't be doing is going to Hardee's on Monday morning and eating biscuit and gravy. Now, that hasn't kept me from doing it, you understand? But nonetheless, that's not good stuff for you from a heart standpoint or from a cancer standpoint. Oh, I love that biscuit and gravy. It's hard. If you hadn't had it, you need to try it. But nonetheless, that's not the best stuff for you from a physical diet standpoint. Well, you know what? Junk food spiritually is bad for us too. Sitting around watching TV. Now, there's not everything on TV is bad. Sometimes it's not pleasant, like watching the Cardinals get slaughtered again. But nonetheless, it's not bad just to watch those things. But how much really, from sitting around watching TV, how much do you get that is spiritually beneficial? Or is it spiritual junk food? Empty calories that do no good whatsoever. We need to have the right, you know, sometimes people sit around and watch and go to the movies and watch stuff that's just filth. And watch daytime TV on TV like As the Stomach Turns. And all that stuff that we shouldn't be, because it's just absolute spiritual filth. It's junk food. It will cause our minds to be messed up. And we must not be feeding our minds on those things that are spiritual junk food if we're going to live spiritually. Look at how the Apostle Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 17 through 24. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. They had useless minds. See, brethren, being spiritually minded, their minds were useless. Futility. How can people, now this may be a PhD. This may be somebody that's brilliant, has all kinds of education, but they have useless minds. How is this possible? Having their understanding darkened. They don't understand what's really important. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. They're ignorant. They don't have life from God because of the blindness of their heart. The problem is they're blind. They don't see what they ought to be able to see. Who being past feeling, and here's where the spiritual junk food comes in. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. Lewdness is shamelessness. What you see on TV is oftentimes absolute shamelessness. What you see in the movies is shamelessness. What you read in many of the magazines is shamelessness. What you find on the internet is shamelessness. It is just filled, it's pervaded with things that are lewd, that are shameless. And what does it cost? To work all uncleanness, moral, spiritual filth. And so when people fill their minds with shameless thoughts by viewing shameless things and reading shameless things, then the result is their lives will be filled with moral filth. But you have not, work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard from him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. Now, many of us used to live that way. And Paul, just like the Gentiles did in Paul's day, and Paul's saying, you quit living that way. You're in Christ now. You're a Christian now. Quit living for lewdness, shamelessness. Quit living for uncleanness, moral filth. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's an old man that dies spiritually. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means repent. That means change your mind. Turn around. Do what's right instead of what's wrong. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So stop feeding our minds on spiritual junk food, which will kill us spiritually. But instead, just as from a physical standpoint, We ought to be eating the kinds of food that will cause us to be healthful spiritually. We need to be feeding on something which will give us spiritual life. And you know what that is. That's the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That little baby just loves that milk. And when that baby is hungry for that milk, he's not saying, "Why, Mama, maybe 30 minutes from now I'd like something to eat." What does he say? "You better give it to me right now, or you're going to listen to a big squall, aren't you?" He wants it right now. And that he is hungering and craving for the milk. And that's the way we must be for the Word of God, the Bible. We should hunger and crave the study of the Word of God, because that's the spiritual food that will give us spiritual life. Bible study needs to be essential to our lives. And then there's some proper exercise. You know, if you're going to have a healthy life, you can't just be a couch potato, can you? You have to get out and do some things that will cause your body to be rejuvenated, to be physically fit. And so it is, from a spiritual standpoint, there's some exercises that we need to go through that will cause us to become spiritually fit rather than physically fit. One of the greatest spiritual exercises that we can do to cause us to become spiritually minded, to cause us to grow spiritually as we should, is to come together in the worship assembly of the church and worship the Lord together and study His Word together. That's what the inspired apostle tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And now, I don't want to worry about here. Does it mean I have to be here every time the door's open? Now, that's not the point that I'm making here. What I want us to see from this passage is, why should I be here? Now, if you understand why you need to be here, you'll be here every time you can. That'll take care of itself. So why do I need to be here? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. What do we do when we come together? We stir each other to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. We come together as a body of God's people to worship Him and to provoke each other, to stir each other up to love and to good works. And when you go forth from this auditorium, you ought to go forth from here renewed in your determination to serve the Lord and to do His will. That is one of the primary reasons that we come together as a body of God's people. That's a spiritual exercise that we all need to be participating in. We need that spiritual exercise. Prayer is a spiritual exercise that we need, and we need to have it every day of our lives, many times a day. It's not something we ought to be doing occasionally. It must be a regular, integral, important, central part of my life, is taking my needs, my desires, and my praise, my request to God in prayer. As Paul put it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. That means prayer is a regular, important, integral part of my life, that I cannot get through the day without prayer. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If we're to be spiritually minded, spiritually healthy, then we need to have lives of prayer, regular prayer that's a regular important part of our lives. And then we need to be doing good works. We need to go forth from this auditorium determined that we're going to be helping others both spiritually and physically as we have the opportunity and ability. Now, by the way, Galatians chapter 6, if you read all of verses 1 through 10, the emphasis is definitely on spiritual things. But nonetheless, it's definitely true that we need to be doing good for our brothers and sisters and for those who are not our brothers and sisters as we have the opportunity and ability. It's good for us just as it's good for them. It's more blessed to give than to receive. For the grace of God, well, I skipped over a passage. That's not the, yeah, it is. That's the passage I wanted. For the grace of God, I was thinking of Galatians 6, 7 through 10. That's what I had in my mind. I know I have in your outline, isn't it? But I have a Titus 2, 11 through 14 up here. So we'll just go ahead through Titus 2, 11 through 14. I messed up the chart. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. And this last phrase, zealous for good works. And so we must be zealous for good works. Now, read on your own, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, which also inside us. Encourage us to be doing, going forth from here, not saying, what can somebody do for me? What can the church do for me? You remember the statement that John F. Kennedy made when he was inaugurated president. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Don't always be a taker. Be a giver. Be seeking to do what we can do to help other people, particularly in the spiritual realm. I'm trying to lead the lost to Christ, to build up those who are spiritually down. But you know, I hope that everybody here has a bulletin, that you have access to it. And the last thing in the bulletin, well, next to the last thing, there's a statement of the periods of worship and so forth, is a list of members of the congregation who are in need of our prayers. Well, if they are in need of our prayers, they're also probably in need of our encouragement and to seeing what we can do to be of help to them. Now, the elders of the church do what we can to encourage and to help them and to call on them. But all the members of the congregation, we have that obligation to one another to do what we can to be of assistance and encouragement to one another. And so we need to have that same love for one another. Now then, it's probably been 11 years ago now that I went to my doctor. We were living up in New York then. And he told me that my cholesterol was 315 and that I needed to get my cholesterol down or I was going to have in danger of a heart attack. And he wanted to put me on a cholesterol medicine. And I said, doctor, let me see if I can do it myself. Boy, doctor, let me see if I can do it myself by exercise and diet. And, hey, I lost some weight. I got to where I was walking 7 miles a day sometimes. Oh, and you know what it got me? Emergency bypass, 5 bypasses. There's some things you can't do yourself. Sometimes you need, and by the way, my cardiologist was married to my cousin. So he understood the problem. He after he had done the examination and he said, you're not leaving the hospital. If we could do the surgery now, we'd do it right now, but it was Friday afternoon, they couldn't. But you're not leaving the hospital. You're staying here until Monday morning. It's going to happen Monday morning. He said, those stinking sharp jeans. He could say that. He's married to a sharp. And so, you know, there's some things that are genetic. Well, part of it had to do with Southern cooking. But there's some things that I needed some help. I couldn't do it by myself. I had to have the help of a medical doctor. And you know something? You can do everything that you can do to go to heaven. But you can't do it by yourself. Now, it's not from genetics. That part doesn't follow. It's just from the fact that we've sinned. And you're going to have the help of the great physician. You can't get there by yourself. Look at Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength. Now, in context, that without strength means we didn't have the ability to save ourselves. Just like 9.5 years ago, I did not have the ability to save myself from dying of heart disease. I had to have the help of a heart surgeon. Everybody in this audience should be doing what you can to become spiritually minded. But you can't do it by yourself because you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. For when we were still without strength, in due time at the proper time, Christ died for the ungodly. Brother and sister, that's you and me. We're the ones Christ died for. We're the ungodly folks that Christ died for. Then he says, this is very interesting terminology, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. A righteous man is somebody that just does what's right. He's not generous. He's not loving. He just always does the right thing. He might win your respect, but it doesn't win your love. You would not give your life for him. You'd respect him, but if somebody needed to die for him, you'd say, well, let Joe Blow die for him. I'm not going to. For scarcely for a righteous man, yet for a good man is somebody that is above and beyond the call. He gives more than, he's one who wins your love. For a good man, some might even dare to die. But what about us? Were we righteous? No. Were we good? No, far from it. But God commends his love, demonstrates his own love for us, that when we were still sinners, we were ungodly sinners. Christ died for us. God showed the greatness of his love by sending his own son to die for us when we could not save ourselves. We were without strength, the ability to do so. We were not good. We were not righteous. We were ungodly. And Christ died for us, paid the price for our sins, that through his sacrifice we might live. Now then, friends, I had to have open heart surgery, or I would have died of heart disease. You need to go through a radical operation. If you're not a Christian, you need to die and to be buried and to be raised again so you can receive the benefits of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and so you can receive the services of the great physician. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Christ died for us on the cross. He was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He was raised the third day to walk a new life. We must die to the love and practice of sin, be buried in the watery grave of baptism, and then be raised to walk in a new life. Then we're in Christ Jesus, we receive the benefits of his blood, and we are saved by him. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, but God be thanked that although you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. When we go through the likeness of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ by being baptized, we go through a form of the doctrine. The doctrine is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The form of it is baptism. When we do that, we're set free from sin. We're made free. We have the service of the great physician. And then we can have eternal life. There are all kinds of people out there in the world that offer you all kinds of things spiritually. But there's only one physician. Now, there's many physicians I could have gone to get help for my heart problem. But there's only one physician you can go to get help for your spiritual heart problem. That's the great physician, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All the others are just charlatans. All the others are quacks. They're not doing good, they're doing harm. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief, now that's all those who are not Jesus Christ, all those who have a way other than through Jesus Christ. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus is the great physician. He's the only one that can heal and can give life. Now, Christian, let's become spiritually minded. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to be spiritually be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you're not a Christian, you can become one today. In just a moment, we'll stand together and sing number 270. Number 270. If you're not a Christian, you can make your life right with Christ today. The great physician will heal you of the terrible malady of sin, and you can have the hope of eternal life. Live a life of spiritual mindedness, walking according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. If you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing with your mouth your faith in Jesus Christ, being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. We invite you to do that now while together we stand.